Okay, so just one moment, and I believe that the Honorable Mr. Neal will be conducting your hearing, and Mr. Johnson, you're going to do that machine.
I've got it on now.
Okay, sir.
It's recording.
Yes, sir.
So we're on and ready. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, sir.
Okay, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
David Viola Jr., 086608.
Thank you, sir. Okay, you're here for a period of time, over Board of Executive, 22 faculty in regards to a request for parole.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to introduce the board members that will be conducting your hearing now. To my left is the Honorable Louis Canales. To my right is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. And his right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the panel chair today. I'm going to need some information and periodically check with you to see if it's correct, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Yes, sir.
Could you raise your head a little bit, so there we go, because all we can see is the top of your head. Okay, so Mr. Bell is 58 years old?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to be 59 this year.
Okay. I like to forget how old I'm going to be, too. Okay, and you're serving a concurrent life sentences for sexual assault and kidnapping.
Yes, sir.
Your sentence began May 27, 1991, and you've served about 26 years so far. You became eligible for parole, or home arrest, or absolute discharge on July 20th, 2017, and you were certified for this hearing on February 20th, 2017. This is your first time in front of the board. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You've had a moderate amount of programming, including four GED modules. How many GED modules is if it shows four separate modules, is that what it takes to get to GED?
Well, I didn't have any kind of education. I was kind of illiterate, and they had to teach me everything.
Okay.
And I'm still in the GED right now.
Okay, I just saw there was four modules showing, and that's very commendable. Okay, so you have a good release plan with pre-approval to reside at your mega house in Tucson. You will receive employment and room and board for your first 6 months from then, and then my understanding of the way you operate is that, you know, that's at the end of that 6 months, if you've done a good job, they help you get permanent placement and employment. Meaning only had a moderate discipline record with the worst several of 70 accidents, including assault with a weapon on a couple of occasions, and possession and manufacturing of a weapon. However, you only had two tickets in the last 10 years, and they were both minors. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then you pled guilty to one count of sexual assault and one count of kidnapping. Each received a life sentence, and they were running concurrently. Is that correct?
It was two counts for the same charge, because I touched the victim twice. I tied her up.
Okay, but even in the trouble you had the conviction was for two charges, one count of sexual assault, one count of kidnapping, and they're both,
yes.
And you're serving the sentences concurrently, correct?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
All right, so since this is your first time on board, none of us are familiar with you or the circumstances that led to you being incarcerated. So at this time, I'd like for you to explain what was going on in your life, and then tell us about what happened in the offense, and then from there we'll move on to you telling us what you've done to improve yourself, change yourself since the time you were incarcerated. Okay. So go ahead, yeah, go ahead and tell us about the fence.
Well, I was living in Flagstaff, sir, and there's no excuse for what I did. I tied up a woman when I was afraid, I was scared, and I saw her walking naked, and I didn't know what to do. And when she started screaming about, please don't hurt me, I got scared. And I tied her up. I shouldn't have even touched her. I should have just walked away. What I did was wrong. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have did what I did, period. You know what I mean? She thought I was going to rape her. I didn't rape her. I had no intention of doing anything. You know what I mean? I just was so screwed up in my mind. I messed up. I did something I should have never did. I'm guilty of the crime that I committed against her. I know this. You know what I mean? I'm just ashamed, man. I regret what I did. I shouldn't have did it. There's no excuse for what I did. You know? I'm asking for a chance to go into the Christian men's home so I can stay there, so I can change my life and how they can help me. You know? This is my first time in prison. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I can't make up an excuse or lie or deceive in any way. I'm not going to do that. I'm guilty of the crime that I committed. And I deserve the time that I got. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm asking you.
Okay, you said that you saw this woman walking and she was naked?
Yeah, she was naked, but she went from one house to the other. So like, it was like a hot house, but I didn't know it was a hot house. When I first saw her, I couldn't really tell it was a woman, because I thought I was too far away. So I ran to the place where I saw her walking at you, but I realized it was a woman. When I opened the door, I saw her there standing naked.
Okay, so did you go inside and tie her up?
I tied her up, I stole the car, I stole all her possessions, and I left. But before I left, I loosened the bonds, and I told her to get dressed, and then I tied her up again, and then I left.
Okay. So, what was going on in your life there? You said your mind was all screwed up. What was going on? Were you having problems with drugs, or?
I was working for a guy named Bill Williams, right? And he refused to pay me, and I was getting drunk with him and doing drugs and stuff like that. And when he wouldn't pay me, I just got angry, and I just started doing burglaries and robberies and all that other stuff. And I just, anybody that was around, I just, you know what I mean, I stole from them.
Okay. So, since you've been incarcerated, what's changed about you? What has put you forward far enough that we should consider you for home arrest or some such release?
Well, when I first came into prison, I didn't think I ever had a chance of getting out. I thought I was going to die in prison. And I didn't care anymore about living or dying. And I did a lot of stupid stuff. You know what I mean? I got involved with things I should have never got involved with. And one time there was a guy named Pete Connell, another inmate, told me to go to church with him. You know what I mean? So I went to church. And the black preacher started telling me about Jesus. And I told him, you know what? I'm a sinner. I did a lot of things that were wrong. You know, and I believe what he told me, so I accepted Jesus. And I asked for forgiveness, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So from that day forward, I strive to try to do a lot better, you know what I mean? I try to avoid all the conflict on the yard. I try to stop doing the things I was doing wrong, you know what I mean? I don't even hang around with anybody anymore. I just stay at my house, go to school, go to church, and that's it. I don't get involved with anything. When people try to talk crazy to me, or, you know, jump in my face, I just walk away. You know, if I have a fault, I go to officers and I tell them. You know what I mean? But I'm not the same person, you know. Even if you choose not to let it go today, I appreciate, you know, your efforts for allowing me to come here today. But I'm still going to continue programming. I'm still going to continue going to church. I'm still going to continue to praise the Lord. And one day I'll hope you to go to the program. Even if, you know, whatever you decide today, it's in God's hands, in your hands. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to come here today.
Okay, do you have any family here?
I have cousins up here, but they're in law enforcement, and I really don't know them that much. And then I have other cousins that are involved in drugs and all that. I don't want to be around them. That's why I'm asking to go to the Christian Museum. My daughter's in California with my grandsons, but they're planning to move over here. So that's why I know the reason I wanted. I asked the pastor of the church to contact my daughter to see if they can somehow figure out a way to help them move over here.
Okay. Well, that sounds like you've got a pretty good plan to move forward to the halfway house and halfway way house, one of the places to be, because they got some of their rules are more strict than being incarcerated, but their intention is to make sure you would straighten up and do everything proper and make a good transition back into society.
As long as as long as you've been incarcerated,
for anybody that's been that long, it's a very difficult transition, and too many of them end up out without the proper support. But those, like the Omega House, they're very good for that, because you make some mistakes early on, well, you'll be out homeless because they won't follow you. But they are very good at what they do. So, do you have any kind of a profession or something that you can do for work when you get out, or are you going to have to be...
I always do landscaping and painting, and my stepfather was a carpenter.
Okay, so you have some skills other than basic labor. So.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, that's good. So I also realize that unless you have some sort of a fairly close release date, that it's hard to get some of the DOC programming, because they try to get it to people that are close to getting out.
Yeah.
But it's recommendable you work on your DED and that stuff. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Mr. Canales?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Varela, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I just have a question. If I'm not mistaken, you received a pretty lengthy prison sentence, and I think you were on probation when you were convicted, correct?
I actually finished the probation.
What was the probation for, sir?
I was homeless, living in California, and I stole some stuff from a store, and they gave me 8 months, and I got out.
I'm going to be very delicate how I ask this question. Again, it was a very long prison sentence. It was for sexual assault and kidnapping.
Yes, sir.
You're saying you didn't rape the victim, correct?
No, I didn't have sex with her. I could have. That's truthful. I could have. If I wanted to, I could have done it, but I didn't do it. I just didn't do it.
Did she say you had sex with her, sir?
On the police report, she said I did something. I think it's referring to where I touched her.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
I know. When I tied her up, and she told me, you know what, don't kill me, because she thought I was going to kill her, and she offered herself to me, and I said, no, I can't do that, I'm sorry.
Okay, sir, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Any other questions? Mr. Johnson.
Sir, I think Mr. Quinones was talking about an incident that occurred in California, and you tied the lady up in California as you did here.
In California?
I thought he was referring, Mr. Quinones, were you referring to an incident that occurred?
Well, what I saw was that he was on probation and that he has, pardon me, I don't have my microphone on. He was ultimately convicted for sexual assault and kidnapping, and the way he's describing the offense doesn't sound like the sort of sexual assault that would result in such a long prison sentence, and that's why I'm saying I'm being delicate about this, but...
I had a gun, and I had pointed it at her, you know what I mean? And when I had tied her up, I had bent her over the bed, and I touched her. I admit I touched her. I inappropriately touched her, which I shouldn't have done, you know? But I never had sex with her.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Barella. And Mr. Johnson?
I don't have any more questions.
Dr. Ray?
No, sir, I don't have any questions.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's a little, we don't have a copy of the police report, and the pre-sentence report was waived at the time of your sentencing, so we really have very little information on the offense. That's why we're asking some of the questions we are. Sir, we're nearing the end of your hearing, and we will go into discussion and make a determination in a few minutes, but we'd like to offer you an opportunity to give a final statement if you'd like to. Tell us anything you think might be relevant, and we just ask that you don't repeat yourself.
Okay. I'm guilty, and I know what I did was wrong. You know, I could have raped her, I could have killed her, but I chose not to do this. That's not me. What I did was wrong, sir. I know what I did was wrong. You know, and I hope she can forgive me one day. You know, all I'm asking is you guys pray and decide whatever God puts in your heart. You know, I'm so. I can't even think straight right now because I don't know what else to say. You know, I'm admitting that what I did was wrong. You know, and I deserve the time that you guys gave me. I don't know what else to say, sir. You know.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'm looking at some of the information in the report. Okay, so the board's going to go into discussion. We'll be speaking amongst ourselves. We ask that you stay on the phone, but remain silent. We're operating under the open meeting law, so you can hear everything we have to say. After we make a decision, we'll be back in, and I'll talk to you again in a minute, okay?
Okay.
Board is now in discussion. Well, it's kind of unfortunate for us that we don't have more information, but it's the type of case that's it's unfortunate. There wasn't any loss of life, but both of the offenses were classified as dangerous crimes, and they were committed while on probation, so that must be the probation from California. And that's probably part of why the sentences are as long as they are. But I think Mr. Varela is making some progress. I think he sounds sincere in his desire to move forward in his life. He also sounds sincere in his remorse, regretfulness of the crimes, but it's also there are details missing, and I think that Mr. Varela needs to look at look back at the details and possibly be able to better relate what happened. He's moving forward with his GED, which is good, and he has placement when he gets out. It would be nice if his family support was here in the valley so that that he would have them to rely on as well as the halfway house. I'm kind of on the fence on this one. That's why I'd like to hear some discussion from my fellow board members if they have anything to add.
Mr. Canova.
I just want to say that I'm just not satisfied with the accounting of the incident. I think there's some holes.
Go ahead. Well, I agree with Mr. Canova. It's just something that's not right. They hear his explanation, and he's given it, but I think that he needs to really give more thought to really what happened and how it happened, so that the board will have a better opportunity to make a decision, especially he wants to be released, and this was a sexual offense, and with that being the case, I want to make sure that he would not be a threat if he was back out in society, and I just don't have enough information to make that determination to say, no, he will not be. And then, not recently, last time, 2013, but prior to then, he had a number of disciplines, and with all of that being considered, I just don't quite get it yet. And I think the other one that we always look for is his, I'm just looking again just to make sure I'm not incorrect, but I am. I think that he had, I don't think he really had any programming as it relates to sexual offenders, and I think that that would be something that I would be looking for due to the nature of the crime. He admitted that, although he did not admit rape. I will go on the record and say he did not say that he raped. He said that he did not rape, but he admitted that he had some type of sexual contact with fingers, hands, or whatever. And I think that we really need to look at those triggers. I know he was frightened at the time, but just to walk in there because you see someone and tie them up and touch them, I think some sexual training, not training, programming might be in order as well. But thank you so much, Mr. Honorable. Mr. Mayor, I didn't mean to go that far with it, but that's just what I'm saying. Thank you.
So I've heard discussions before. Yes, I do agree with the holes in the story, and that's part of why I was on the fence on the attitude as far as moving forward, and that it's good, but there are some definite holes in the story. I just don't know exactly which ones are holes, but I think if he searches back in his memory, he could come up with a better explanation of what went on. So at this time, I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. Morales parole or home arrest or actually discharge at this time.
Second.
Agree?
Agree.
And the reasons would be, okay, it's a serious and violent offense. With the general information, it sounds like it was not only violent, but it was a deep offense. Obvious trauma to the victim. And apparently he was violating previous probation. While in prison, he did have a continuing history of assaulting behavior, although it has calmed down the last few years prior to criminal history. Lack of programming, specifically sexual offender programs. And that, sums it up, unless there's something that somebody else would like to put as for reasons. And I am going to ask for a 1 year set off, which will give him ample time to do some more programming and rethink crime and work on that aspect. Mr. Morales, did you hear and understand the discussion and the reasons that we voted the way we did?
Yes, you want me to think about the crime and do more programming? So what you're saying is,
Sir, we didn't say, I believe if we checked the transcript, that you're the only person that used the word liar, you're the only person that said that we believe that you raped a woman. We don't have enough details to make that, and we're taking your word, you didn't rape her, but there was tying her up naked, making her take her clothes, there's all kinds of things that would be a sexual assault. Okay?
I'm sorry for what I did.
Okay, we understand that, sir. We understand that. We'd like for you to get some programming in the sexual offender area so that you can, make sure that when you get out, you don't have any more problems like that. And so at this time, your hearing is over, and we'd ask that you put the CO3 back on the phone.
Thank you.